He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And the candles are lit. The Lord lives. So why is it important that he rose? It's a rhetorical question. I'll answer it. But I want to think about that today because we're now on chapter 28. It's called New Beginnings, which is really the part in the story where we pick up this thing we call the church begins. And so what's been happening for the last 2,000 years since Jesus came back to life, since he conquered death? Well, what I want to say has happened is human transformation. The Bible tells us all humans are basically born as zombies with a fatal disease called sin or whatever. It's rebellion from God, and we've been infected by the enemy in this rebellion. We've cut ourselves off from the source of life, and we're kind of born mindless zombies. And the good news of the gospel, and what I just kind of want to get it in our heads in a different way, is that human transformation is now possible. This is what Jesus has achieved for us. We no longer have to stumble through this life and end this life as zombies. We are able to come alive and be changed and become what he originally designed for us. And I want us to think about that. I want us to think more about come to church, because what God has for us is almost alien science fiction, or it's fantasy. It's stuff that in another realm would seem like books are written about, and we're so used to it, we don't touch how wonderfully, life-givingly weird this is, that God is in the process of transforming human beings. This exterior force, the Creator, is coming down and touching people and making them alive. And it's real. I think sometimes the science fiction and the fantasy we write and read, the good stuff, and sometimes those dreams we have in our heart are just foretastes and bits of the Holy Spirit scratching at people's minds of what can it be if humans weren't touched by death, if we had powers, if we could live forever, if a new society formed that had none of the sorrows we were in right now. I think it's all real, and I want us to get it into our mind, because I think when we think about church and we think about what Jesus has accomplished, we get stuck at it means I'm forgiven, and there's nothing stuck about that. I mean, that's huge. That's everything. We're forgiven. But then I think we go on to say, I'm forgiven, so now I'm supposed to be good and go to church, which we think of as a building. And actually, church, that's not what it means. The word church actually means all believers everywhere, and there's local churches like us, and there's the worldwide church of all believers. But I think that's what we think. So I know Jesus, I'm forgiven, so now I try and be good, drive the speed limit or no more than 12 clicks over, and I go to a building once or twice a week. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. I want us to get our minds around this, and I'm probably saying it over and over again, but something fantastic has happened. Jesus' death and resurrection makes human transformation possible. We're taken from death to life. It says we go from blindness to seeing, from stupidity to comprehension and understanding, from mortal to immortal. You know, that's, you know, read those X-Men and stuff, they're immortals, right? That's all real. From powerless to gifted with power. Powered with gifts. You realize that when you come alive in Jesus, he gives you a gift or gifts. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're able to do things that you could not before. In terms of the created universe, we've been transformed from using the earth to being those who have a living connection with it, to being kings and queens of this earth, to and transforming it,
to having a living connection with the earth. That's what's happening. That's the world that's breaking in. That's why it says the earth groans, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, because it wants to be loved by our hands. The world is meant to respond to us. If you ever read C.S. Lewis and he picks up these images of a living creation that responds to the kings and queens, to us, that there's no longer this disconnection in this semi-dead earth. It's supposed to be alive, to being like Jesus, who in his relationship with the earth, he actually commanded the elements. He talked to the wind and it stopped. He said, "Be still," to the waves, and they were stilled. And when he died, the earth trembled at his death. He is our model. We're these transformed super beings. It's science fiction. With power and minds that are new in connection with this world. And we're given true connections with God and with each other. You know, Mother Teresa, when asked, what is the greatest disease in the world today? You know what she said? Loneliness. The transformation that happens when we get these new minds and these new bodies and this new ability and connection to the earth, we get a new connection with each other. You can have more than one best friend, you know. And that's what God is working, is we're connected with one another in a life-giving way. So what's been happening for the last 2,000 years? Human transformation. People have been taken from being dead to being alive, to becoming superhumans, if you will have it. Now, I'm going to show two videos today. This first one I'm going to show, for those of you in youth, this will be, some of you, it'll be the third time you will have seen it. For those who came for Tenebrae, it'll be the second time. But for a good portion of us, it'll be the first time. This one talks about what Jesus accomplished by his sacrificial death and ends off moving into the Holy Spirit. And then we'll show one in a few moments that'll take us what the Holy Spirit actually does in our lives. I actually love these videos because they say in pictures very clearly the plan of God. So, Paul, I guess if I just click it goes, doesn't it?
We all want the world to be good, for people to live in peace, act with love and justice, but there's a problem.
The very power that brought Jesus back from the dead is the same power that can transform us into people who live lives of love and peace. We're being transformed into being superhumans, like Jesus was. And I'm just trying to use those new images to bump us out of this idea that being a Christian is about being good and going to a building once a week. Because it's about being a new human being, a mutant, if you will have it, but mutated to what we are meant to be. Evolved, if you would have it, but evolved intentionally by the Holy Father, by His Spirit. And we're given two new rituals to connect us to the life source. And the first he mentioned was baptism. And if you're still listening to me, it's not too late. Pastor Bob is right next door running the baptism class. If you get up and go out and decide that, yeah, I want to take the class, at least think about it, do so right now. I will just rejoice with you. Otherwise, you can catch up in another week. What you need to understand is at the time that the Bible was written, when they first started preaching, he said, repent and be baptized and you'll get the Holy Spirit. And it was all meant as one process. It happened in the same day. So sometimes we drag it out and talk about it a lot and teach a lot. But if you believe in Jesus, don't wait on getting baptized. Get out there and get dunked. And by that, we symbolize our personal connection with Jesus' death and his resurrection. And the second was communion, because it reminds us that we're connected. This is the source of our power. You know, Green Lantern had his ring. We have the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to give us power. And the life power is more than just food. What is it that gives us? It's not more the nourishment. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us this life. And the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is now available to us. How are we made mutants? How are we transformed? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit. So here we go again with the second video, because I think this captures it. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives. Every revival movement in history has pretty much begun with a fresh move of God's Holy Spirit. It happened about a century ago in North America, in Los Angeles, the Azusa Street Revival. The Holy Spirit broke out and people started speaking in tongues, but what they did have is a direct experience of God. And sometimes what I worry, it's important to teach the Bible, absolutely, and I'm not. Let me make sure I don't get off on that, saying teaching isn't important. But sometimes we can think that understanding and memorizing the words is the goal. That's not the goal. The goal of the Scriptures and everything God has revealed is to bring us into his living presence. So he touches you and touches me with the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can have more of us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, these crazy things, speaking in tongues, well, that's just an outward crazy manifestation of actually things that the Holy Spirit does. I've had that experience. Blah, 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 blah. I get, you know, I remember when it first happened on me. How did this happen, God? You took hold of me. But that's just one of the outward manifestations of the fact that when God's Holy Spirit comes on people, he changes them. He doesn't just want to get you to memorize the Ten Commandments. He wants you to internalize the holiness, his presence inside you, living out from you, bringing life out from your very hands, so that you have gifts of healing and the ability to talk, and your words will change people. That's what it's about. His Holy Spirit, his Ruach, working in people, transforming them. You can't be transformed just by the knowledge of words. The Holy Spirit has to take them into you. And that's my great desire for you and for me, is that we would continue to be transformed, that we wouldn't just come here because Debbie makes great coffee. And Georgia makes it a really clean building, and Pat runs an excellent children ministry, that we would gather together because we've all been touched by the Spirit, and so we could look in one another's eyes and say, yes, you too have been mutated into a superhuman by Jesus' Spirit. You too have had your heart tenderized by the Holy Spirit. You too have been changed. It's about meeting God and having him infect and transform and turn you into a new being by his Holy Spirit. And God will bring this process to completion. The picture the Bible gives us is that all of creation is eventually renewed by the Spirit going through us. And when Jesus comes back and his feet touch down again, the world is magically transformed. And everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. And it's Jesus who brings it. It's why the death and resurrection of Jesus is around which everything turns, because the fact that he is alive means that there's a Holy Spirit out there. There's a transforming power, right? He was dead. I'm going to do another funeral this week. People don't spontaneously come out of the casket. But Jesus came out of a sealed grave. And we have that hope that everybody who dies in Jesus will have their bodies and lives transformed and put back together again. Jesus didn't come to just make good people who are nice to each other. Jesus came to make people like him, to transform them. As he came, Jesus' relative, John the Baptist, was on the scene. And John was pretty powerful, doing pretty amazing things. So people asked him, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who's promised to become? And John said, no, I'm not him. Matter of fact, I'm going to baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. How much greater? Because John was, Spirit was moving powerfully through him and people were repenting. But this is what he says. So much greater, so much greater, that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. And if you saw that picture we've done of the feet in those days, I'm not even worthy to do a slave's job and take off his dirty sandals. As a matter of fact, I'm not worthy to do this. He, though, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is what Jesus came to do. This is why his resurrection means everything, because if he's alive, then he can baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just before he left and rose to heaven, Jesus told his disciples this. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what the word baptized means is immersed. You'll be completely plunged into God's Holy Spirit. You'll be transformed, not just your mind, but actually your body and the powers you have. It will affect every part of your life. The Holy Spirit will wrap around you in just a few days. He's promising. This is what's happened. And then the promised Spirit came, and people were changed. On the day of Pentecost, think those little flames of fire. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So it came in on the congregation, settled on Dorothy Friesen, and suddenly she spoke fluent Karen. And it settled on Timmy, and suddenly he spoke fluent Low German. And it settled on Frank, and Ebo became my second tongue. Miracles happened. The Holy Spirit came on people. This is big news, people. This is flashy news. God is able to transform human beings, mind and spirit. It's not just about going to a building and getting together. It's about being transformed. And it was the beginning of a worldwide human transformation as people started coming alive as they received the new life from Jesus through his Spirit. And early on in the church, we're given a couple of shining examples of what it does for people. I mentioned James last week, Jesus' kid brother, who thought his brother had lost his mind, become mentally ill, and did not believe in him. He actually became the primary spokesman, the leader of the first church in Jerusalem after Peter left. And he gave his life up and was killed for his faith in his big brother. And the other guy we come across is the Apostle Paul, who hated and killed Christians because he thought they were a wicked, evil cult. And he used to oversee the stoning to death of Christians. This is one of the first martyrs for Jesus Christ. The saint, we call him saint, but Stephen. Great man, young man. Probably around Bless's age. Filled with the Holy Spirit, gave a passionate defense of Jesus' death and resurrection. And Paul oversaw his execution. But yet he, was met by Jesus, and Jesus filled him with the Holy Spirit. And metaphorically, he was blinded. Well, he was literally blinded, and when the scales came off his eyes, they came off his spiritual eyes, and he saw that Jesus was the King, was the Son of God, and he was transformed. And this guy, by the Holy Spirit, has changed the world. He wrote about half the New Testament. This hater of Christians, this murderer of Christians, when he met Jesus, was so transformed that through him God changed the world. And when the Holy Spirit came on him and came on them, they were changed. And I want to think about that for us, because when the Spirit came on them, their pasts were transformed. So James grew up in this household, and he thought his brother was nuts. But when the Holy Spirit comes on him, his eyes are open, and then he looks back and he goes, oh, my brother was like no one else I ever met. And my mom and dad, there was this kind of special thing about them, something God had done. So by the Holy Spirit coming on him, suddenly his whole past came alive. When the Holy Spirit came upon Paul, he said, you know, this guy who'd studied and memorized the Old Testament. Matter of fact, he had a degree from the University of, what's his rabbi's name? Come on, someone tell me. Rabbi for Paul. Gamaliel. And suddenly the PhD he'd received, instead of just being a dead piece of paper, came alive. When the Holy Spirit came on him, he realized, oh my goodness, all the scriptures point to this man I was persecuting, and his past came alive. And now, as the Holy Spirit came on him and his past came alive, he realized, oh my goodness, I've stood beside men and women as they were being crushed to death for faith in Jesus. And now his Spirit has come on me, and what was my great shame and what would kill me in agony has been transformed. I realize that God can even forgive me, he says, the worst of sinners. Therefore, he's able to take this message and say, he can forgive anyone. If he can forgive me, a murderer, he can forgive anyone. And he becomes a man of grace and humility. And he gives the gift to us. What's there in your past that Jesus wants to transform? The stuff that you're just ashamed of. That you just go, oh, I hate that. I can't even look at it. Or the abuse you've suffered. That God actually wants to, by his Holy Spirit, touch and transform. Not that abuse becomes a lovely thing, but he takes the ashes of our former lives and the Holy Spirit comes on it. That abuse becomes an open door where your heart becomes tender and you can open up your lives to other people who've been broken. He redeems the past when the Holy Spirit comes on people. He takes what you were before and makes it alive in a way that you never could have imagined. He transforms us and he transforms our pasts. Amen. This is how he does. And when the Holy Spirit comes on us, now there's a bunch of scriptures that go with this that I'm not going to read. And if you want, you can jot them down. But here's a few things that when Jesus breathes his ruach, his breath into your life, that Holy Spirit, who's not an it, but a person, the very personal presence of God, what he does in our lives. When he breathes his Spirit on you, you become a child of God. Oh. He gives you a new name that only he and you know, and you become God's child. And when his Spirit comes in you, it's a Spirit that actually lets you look up at the heavens to the Creator of all things and say, Daddy, Father. God's not just this impersonal force that maybe or maybe not does not exist. The Creator of all things is your Father and mine. We're transformed into children of God. We're made new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone belongs to Christ, they have become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. If the Holy Spirit comes in you, he actually is recreating you. I almost wish we had x-ray eyes to actually see how people change when the Holy Spirit comes on them. But I've actually seen people change with the Holy Spirit. You know how they become tender and warm and alive? It's all I want for the people I love. When you see that softness comes in somebody. I remember when I was first saved and I was pumping gas in Whistler. And I used to yearn for when Christians would come in because I could see something different on them. May we have eyes to see that. We're made new creations. And it says we have a renewed mind. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing how you think, so that your priorities are around what matters. No one goes to the grave saying, I wish I bought more stuff. But you do go to the grave saying, I wish I spent more time with my dad. I wish I called my friend who was sick. We get our priorities put in order. It says we have a new understanding. So we look out and we see this world is not purposeless. The horrors and the sadnesses that happen in the world are not without a guiding spirit. The Lord says, don't be anxious. You know, kingdoms will rise and fall. And I know some of you have experienced war, but God's hand is over it all, and He's guiding this world to a glorious conclusion where war is no more. And we understand in this world that we're part of its transformation, that there's more from this. The Holy Spirit gives us life. We literally become immortal. We literally become immortal. And we're given gifts. Bezalel had a gift of artistry. He could make beautiful things by the Spirit. Some of us are given gifts of friendship, or of wisdom, or of healing, or of speaking in different languages. And we're actually given power over evil spirits. Spirits that normally would terrify us and are much stronger than us, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, we become superhuman, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we have power over the evil spirits in this world. You are mutants. You are X-Men and women. You are superheroes. You have been transformed. If you have received the Holy Spirit, I want you to get this. It's not about just being good and coming to a building once or twice a week. It's about being a transformed humanity. We're new. We have had the Spirit come on us. And we now live in two dimensions, actually. You know, sometimes science fiction picks up this idea, there's one dimension and another, but it's actually true. God's dimension, God's holiness is re-emerging in this world. And its first sign of re-emerging was Jesus, and now the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And God is moving into this world, and one day He will fully move in, and we live between two realities, who through the Spirit are connected to the Creator, and we have the Creator's mind. And so, like mutants or X-Men, the truth is, sometimes we are loved, often we are feared or hated or misunderstood. I'm going to end with this. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So we've got the Spirit from God, and we understand that a new world is coming, that this world is currently dead. However, this all comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That means actually that the world does not understand Christians. It kind of understands us when we make hospitals and we feed the poor and we care for the sick, but it doesn't understand the message necessarily, we say that you need to be transformed. You need to be born again. That requires the Holy Spirit to understand. And so there will always be hostility in this world. No matter what the newspapers write or what you read on Facebook or the atheist websites, they do not understand. And that's okay. But we do. And we live in two worlds as mutants as part of the new humanity, and our goal is to win others and pray that God would give them understanding so that they would know that there is a life that's coming. Because otherwise it just seems that we're members of the Be Good Club who wags their fingers at them all the time. They don't understand that we're broken and God wants to make us alive. Amen. By the Spirit you've begun to touch the new world, and God has touched you. He's given you a new name. You have been changed. Your history and your past is swept into the new life of God. May you and I embrace today our new identity. We are the new humanity. We are the children of God. We are being made like Him. Father, I thank you for this. I barely understand it because I still sleep and I eat. I still get up and go to work, and when I skin my knuckles, they still bleed. And in some ways, with dull eyes, it would look like nothing has changed. And yet you have put in my heart and in my mind your Spirit. And you have changed me, and you have changed my brothers and sisters. Would you once again pour your Spirit on us and remove the scales that sometimes creep back in our eyes, and let us see that you have made us superhuman. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name.